Thus, it takes only a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. I feel confident in the Lord that you'll not take any fatal step, but whosoever it is worrying you will have a serious charge to answer one day. As for me, my brother, if I were still advocating circumcision, as some apparently allege, why am I still suffering persecution? I suppose if I would only recommend this little rite, all the hostility which the preaching of the cross provokes would disappear. I want you to hear that again. This is Paul speaking, and he says, I'm in an awful lot of trouble, and I'm not in trouble with the barkeepers. Who am I in trouble with? The church people. Come on now. That's what this whole thing's about. Because he is going the way of freedom in Jesus Christ, and they say, nope, you've got to go the way of Moses and Jesus. Hook it all together and say, if maybe all this hostility, maybe all this argument. Poor Paul, sometimes I feel awful sorry for him, because he was in trouble with the guys in the world, and he was in trouble with the guys in church, and there was no friend. You know, talk about a lonely walk. I suppose if I would only recommend this little rite, all the hostility which the preaching of the cross provokes would disappear. I wish those who are so eager to cut your bodies would cut themselves off from you altogether. Well, that's what he said, but I want you to read it. I'd like to read it over here in, let's see. The New American Standard says, would that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Well, now it's getting closer to what it means. And the Williams says, I almost wish that those men who are upsetting you would go all the way and have themselves mutilated. But Beck, in his translation, gets very, very clear and says, I wish the men who upset you would castrate themselves. And now we're getting the idea that it was being talked about. As for those agitators, this is New English Bible, they had better go all the way and make eunuchs of themselves. Go all the way. I mean, circumcision is one thing, but letting the lice, when the nice slips, is another. And so, to me, it's a joke in the Bible. I don't know whether you think it's a joke or not, but it sounds kind of funny. And this is what Paul's saying, and he says, well, if these guys want you to be circumcised, he says, well, if you think cutting off a little foreskin is what the answer is, he says, why don't you just cut it off all the way? That'll stop the problem. Now, I'm not making this up. You may think you may think this is X-rated, but this is what it says here. And he's getting there. Okay. It is to freedom that you've been called, my brethren. Only be careful that the freedom does not become mere opportunity for your lower nature. Now, this is where it becomes a real, you know, a real tightrope. Watch this. You should be free to serve one another in love. After all, the whole law toward others is summed up in this one command. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's where it is, you see. That's the action. You should be free. But if freedom means merely that you're free to attack and tear one another to pieces, be careful doesn't mean that between you, you destroy your fellowship altogether. And then he goes on to a little bit more freedom. Here's my advice. Live your whole life in the Spirit, and you'll not satisfy the desires of your lower nature. For the whole energy of the lower nature is set against the Spirit, while the whole power of the Spirit is contrary to the lower nature. Here's the conflict. And that is why you're not free to do what you want to do. Now, this is very, very important. We're not free to do what we want to do. And why? Because we're spirit, soul, and where's your want to? Where does it come out of? Come on. And your soul is saved or being saved? Being saved. Now, the spirit is saved, so you live out of that which proceeds from the heart, which is love. And then the soul comes into play, and it begins to make you think that, well, just because I want to. I'll do this because after all I've been saved and I'm free. And you can't. Because how many know that a lot of our want-tos are extremely selfish? Is that right? And the law of love would never hurt anybody. But we want to. We're hungry. We need. So we reach out and accept or take or get or maneuver someone else into a position. And that's not right, because that's not being led of the Spirit. Even though we're free, it's being led of the soul. But the Bible's very clear on this one, that we receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our. It was written to people who were already saved in their, but needed further salvation in their soul. So therefore, you can expect in your Christian environment people who will be start to be coming free in Jesus Christ and not be led of the Spirit, be led of the soul. Now, here's the problem. When you run into this kind of situation, what are you going to do with that person? Love them? Go along with them? Well, not in the realm, not all the way in the thing that they want so badly, but would you understand that a lot of people feel that they've lost their salvation because they followed their soul? And you didn't lose the salvation of your spirit. You only followed your dumb head. They call it backsliding. It's not backsliding. You can't backslide in the spirit. You backslide in the soul. And so that backslider has not lost his salvation. What's he lost? His righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He's lost the kingdom of heaven. He's lost the kingdom of God. And for those of us, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but for those of us who have followed the leading of our soul, we have lost the righteousness, peace, and joy. How many know somebody else who did that? Okay. The activities of the lower nature are obvious. Now, here's the list. Now, this is going to make more sense to you. Sexual immorality. Impurity of mind. Sensuality. Worship of false gods. Witchcraft. Hatred. Quarreling. Jealousy. Bad temper. You see, if you read this and told somebody in church that those two ladies that were having a quarrel at church were just as bad as an adulteress, you wouldn't get away with it, would you? Huh? It's the same list. You see what I'm driving at? It's the same thing. God looks upon quarreling, just a quarrel, as a lust of the flesh. The same list, the same thing. And so we have made a list of sins that, you know, we categorize our sins and say, well, you know, this is forgivable and this is not forgivable and, you know, all so forth. And this is very bad and this is, you know, just, well, a little thing that on and on it goes. But here's the list. And they're all works of the flesh. And they're all, as far as I can tell, just as bad as the other. All they mean is that you're led by your carnal meathead. The meathead leads. Bad temper, rivalry, factions, party spirit. I like that word, party spirit. I'm right, you're wrong. What's the matter with you? Envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like that. I solemnly assure you, as I did before, that those who indulge in such things will never inherit God's kingdom. Here again, it's the kingdom of God, remember. The Spirit, however, produces human life fruits, such as these: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. And no law exists against any of them. Okay, I think that's good enough for some of the newer versions to get the idea of what he's talking about. Now, I'm back in Galatians, and the reason he's so uptight about Galatians, turn back to chapter 2 with me for just a minute. And I'm ready for item number 3 in the chart, 2-4. This really got Paul uptight. Philemon 2:4 says that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. I don't know whether I can get away with this or not, but here goes. You know, sometimes I'm afraid to tell all these stories because of, you know, these tapes go around the world. But the first night, the first meeting that I conducted when I was president of the Harrisburg chapter of the Four Gospel Businessmen, what do you think was laying right in the middle of every plate when I went in to the dining room? Now this, you know, anybody's kind of shaky their first time around. Is that normal? Saying you want everything to go smooth? Now, the chapter had been organized for maybe 10, 15, at least 8 to 10 years. And now was my turn to be the president. And I was going to run the meetings. And here, by every plate, was a tract telling the ladies that God would never hear them pray if their hair was cut. And I'll tell you, that guy came in privily and slipped those tracts on the plates secretly to bring them back into bondage. You see why this is so important to me? Do you see this lesson? You see what I'm trying to drive at? And they came in, can I say from Jerusalem, to spy out our liberty, because we were teaching that it didn't matter if they wore wigs or not, didn't matter how long their hair was, didn't matter whether they wore makeup or not, or what jewelry they had on or anything, that God loved every person, that God was going to meet their needs, and He was there to baptize them in the Holy Spirit, to fill them, to overflowing. It didn't matter if they're, you know, what any of those outer things or signs. And here was this track. Boy, didn't I have a trouble doing a dance to dance out of that one. I don't know whether I handled it right or not, but after I got up, I just thanked the people and thank you for coming, said, well, and we also thank whoever it was who brought their literature here, laid it. We don't know who it was, but we thank them for their literature, and we'll read it again, and we'll read it sometime. And that was my way of disclaiming it. That's about all I could do, you know. But, boy, I sure didn't want people in our group being put under bondage, that kind of bondage. I don't know about you, but I know some churches where if you dye your hair, you're in trouble. So that's what I'm trying to get at, all kinds of rules and laws. So these fellows came in to spy out the liberty, and it says in verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now this to me is very, very important, because when Paul was on his own ground in Galatia, doing his own thing in his own church, and those guys from Jerusalem slipped in, he was not subject to them, even if they were the apostles of Jesus Christ. You hear me? Now, it's the apostles of Jesus Christ who were wanting the Christians to go back to the law. If you don't believe it, it's in Acts chapter 21. Thou seest, brother, how many Jews there are which believe. They are also zealous of the law, and they are informed of thee that thou art come. Do this that we say unto thee, the apostles. And when Paul went back to Jerusalem, he was subject to them because he was on their ground. But when he was in his own ground, in his own church, in his own city, he was not subject to them. Can you hear this? You hear this very clearly. And the reason this is so important, there's a strong movement in the charismatic realm especially to put all the people under a central rule, a central government who will set up rules for the the way things operate. How many know what I'm talking about? Now listen, when you go to Fort Lauderdale, you keep the rules at Fort Lauderdale. But if somebody from Fort Lauderdale slips into this meeting here tonight, the Bible is very clear, we're to be subject, no, not an hour. Yeah, is that all right? And I guess I'm talking pretty clearly there. Because it doesn't matter what the rules are down the street. This is the group, and this group sets their own rules. Now it says, when you're with a group that has rules, you keep the rules. That's very clear. That's why I said, if you're with, go down to Fort Lauderdale, you got to keep the rules. Go ahead with your thought.
David, have you ever known any group at all that began, someone didn't try to come in and capture it? Prayer group? I don't know.
I'm not aware of it. From 1914 till about 1936, the Assemblies of God were very free and what we call autonomous. But around 1936, it began to change and began to be captured by the Springfield, Missouri idea. And so underwent. So there was a period, a short period, according to my understanding of history, where they were free. And they had the real spirit, of course, and they were. But then again, it got tied up with rules and laws just like everything else. You're right. I don't know of anything yet that men don't eventually try to corral, put their own brand on, and then develop the people in their own way. Paul fought it, but it's very obvious he lost. Because he's talking to the Galatians, he said, who bewitched you? Somebody came in, and they put their brand right on you guys. You see it?
I've even found it in small local groups, though. Like, say you've got a half a dozen or so meeting in the prayer group. They're very open.
Mm-hmm.
Someone will come in, and he'll try to set up laws and mm-hmm. organize it and bring it right back.
Put it right back. Now, you see, as a teacher, I got to watch this, and I'm hoping you're filling in the blanks, are you? Because I can't call all the shots right now. I can't say everything that I'd like to say because, here again, I don't want to offend. And if that guy's in charge of that group, I stand up for his right to make the rules. But I've also noticed something else. There's always, in every group, someone who is more vociferous than the others, more powerful than the others, who eventually will try to take over the group. And where the group was what we call autonomous and going along and everybody was, you know, being led in the Spirit, and someone with a very strong, powerful personality, what I call platform personality. See, I myself have to watch for this, for I have a platform personality, a strong personality, and I've got the Bible, and, you know, every time I go into the meeting, well, it's natural somebody will ask me what it says about some subject, and I can, if I'm not careful, twist it, you know, to the way I want it. So it's a little difficult for me to operate in the Spirit completely in meetings that have always been led by the Spirit because I am a strong personality. But I recognize that, and that's one reason I try to stay out of them, and that's another reason that when people, for instance, you remember several years ago, people used to save up their prayer requests and bring them to our Bible study. And that's when I quit coming. That's when I decided I was going to go somewhere else then because that was one of the big reasons that I didn't want to stay and teach the same group all the time because they start looking to the leader and expect the leader to be the prayer, you know, the interceder and so forth. And I know enough about that. So I got out of that. But those days are over, and I've noticed in our groups that we have, the six groups that participate right now in this ministry locally, we don't have those problems anymore. Everybody seems to be strong and desiring eventually to build their own booth and be their own, you know, priest before God. And I feel this is a healthier way, don't you? Mm-hmm. That each guy does his own thing. Eventually, he won't even have to call Tulsa. And I'm not finding fault with calling Tulsa because, after all, if I had a very serious problem and I needed help some night, I'd call the prayer tower, wouldn't you? Because somebody's there, they'll answer the phone, they'll pray with you, and wouldn't that be neat? See, that's all right. But one of these days, you'll be able to pick up the phone and dial direct. Is that all right, too? Okay, so we find no fault with either group. Now, these fellows came in to spy out their liberty. Now, keep your finger there and go over to Acts with me for just a minute. And we may flip back and forth. Did I say Acts 21? Yeah, I was right. In Acts chapter 21, verse 4, they found disciples who said to Paul through the Spirit he should not go up to Jerusalem. Was Paul warned through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem? Yes or no? In verse 19, when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. Verse 20, now this is one of the hookers. This has got a real barb in it. Verse 20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of what? Jews there are which believe, and they're all zealous of the... They're not zealous of Jesus. They're not zealous of the leading of the Spirit. They're zealous of the... And they're informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Now, what did Galatians 5:2 say? Somebody read it. Galatians 5:2. Somebody read it to me.
Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ should profit you nothing.
Say it real loud for the tape.
Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing.
I'm reading back in Acts, saying they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Was Paul guilty of this charge? Yes, he was. What is it, therefore, the multitude must needs come together, for they'll hear that thou art come. Do this, therefore, that we say unto thee. The Holy Spirit had said, verse 2. I'm sorry, verse 4. What did the Holy Spirit say? Do not go. Was he warned through the Spirit with a capital S? All right. Do this, therefore, that we say unto thee. Very important. My friend, if you want to be covered by men instead of covered by the Holy Ghost, why don't you pick the best men in the world, the apostles of Jesus Christ, those of you who still need men for a covering? Come on now. As I travel, this is the big flap. Everywhere I go, people want to be covered by a man, by a shepherd. Well, if there was a better covering, I cannot imagine it in the history of the world than the very apostles of Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Would you admit that that would be the best covering you could choose? That's better than the Pope to be covered by. These men are the very apostles. Peter, James, John, right? These are the apostles of Jesus. These are the men who travel with him. And they say, do therefore this that we say unto thee. Now the Holy Spirit said one thing and the men said another, and that's what I'm trying to get. These men still were not saved in their... They were being saved in their soul. They were already saved in their spirit. So now they're speaking to him out of their soul. And what makes you think you're going to get any better covering? I think that's pretty clear, isn't it? Why do you think you're going to... I don't care if the covering is from Miami. You're still going to get men who are bound by their own traditions, bound by their own training, and still will be in opposition to what the Spirit says. And these guys are the very apostles of Jesus Christ, and if there were to be a better covering, I don't know what it is. I cannot imagine a better church board to submit myself to. So these fellows said, do this, therefore, that we say unto thee, we have four men which I will vow on them, them take and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all know that the things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing. Well, I'll tell you, those things were something. If you don't believe in Galatians, try 1 Corinthians 7:18 or Acts 16:3. They were something. Paul was guilty of the charge. He'd have to stand before the judge and say, guilty as charged. But thou thyself walkest orderly and keepest the law. Now, as touching the Gentiles which believe, we've written and concluded they observe no such thing, save only they keep themselves from things offered to idols and blood and from things strangled for fornication. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered the temple to signify the accomplishment. The word signify means play-like. Because he was not pure, he was not clean, he still had his bacon in his tummy. And he's going to the temple to play-like the accomplishment of the days of purification. If you want to know about the days of purification, that's in Numbers chapter 6, verse 2. And it tells all about the Nazarite vow and the days of purification. Numbers chapter 6, verse 2. You can study it all later on. And he was not. He was playing like, but he did not have that vow. Until then, an offering should be offered for every one of them. Here is Paul the Apostle going back to the blood. Did you see the word offering? Now, I want you to know something. Every one of you will have people who are going to come to you as you begin to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, who will say, don't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Come back to our group. Come back to our covering. Back to our security. Thou seest, brother, how many thousands. Do you see the word thousands? Thousands means lots of money. Big offering. Can you see it? And what's the argument? To be led of the Spirit or to be led by men? To be covered by the Spirit? What's Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1 say? Woe unto the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that seek counsel but not of me, and cover with a covering but not of my Spirit, that they might add sin to sin. Your covering, sir, is the Holy Spirit. Your shepherd, sir, is Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say this very clearly. I find no fault with other groups who still need a man as an under-shepherd. But if I'm talking to technons who are about to come huios, did you hear the difference? If I'm talking to adolescents who are about to become manifested sons of God, then you don't need an under-shepherd. You only need the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Can you see this? Do you see what I'm driving at? But there are still those, Paideon, Pais, and Technons, who still need under-shepherds to tell them what to do. Is that right? So we find no fault. We're not finding fault with those groups. But I'm very clear, those groups have no right to come to this group and find fault with whatever freedom we participate in. Because they are absolutely not able to analyze. They have to analyze on the basis of the law of... And if you're going to be a huios, you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. And you'll be led by the law of love. Not touch, not taste, not handle, not, which is all going to perish with the using. But you're under the law of love. And the law of love gives you the freedom to meet everybody's needs. Is that all right? Okay. Back here to Galatians chapter 2 for just a minute. But verse 7 says, contrawise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. And to me, this is one of the most important verses of understanding what I'll call New Age truth. I'll say it again. One of the most important verses to understanding what God is doing at the present time is to understand this verse. Because he gave the gospel of the circumcision to who? Peter. And who was the first pope? Peter. And he was the head of which church? Catholic Church. So the Catholic Church took the gospel of the circumcision, which is a mixture of law and grace, and taught it to the whole world. If you're hearing me, I'm not finding fault with the Catholic Church.
This Bible teaching by David E. Ball will continue on cassette number 2.